Okay, so Women Ed started 6 years ago now, and it was a group of women in education, leaders or aspiring leaders. It started on Twitter, and it started talking about how more women in education than anything else, 80%, but in leadership there's a disproportionate amount of female leaders. So somewhere there's a stop where women stay in teaching but don't move into leadership.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hi, Brad.
Greetings.
A little while back, Brad and I accessed a list of the top females in ed tech that we should talk to. And that was an exciting list for us to attack. And we have an opportunity today to be joined by Jules Dolby.
Jules is a literacy and inclusion expert, podcaster of The Inclusive Classroom, and co-founder and national leader of hashtag Women Ed, a grassroots organization created to support existing and aspiring women leaders. Jules has worked in education for over 25 years. She started out her teaching career as an English and drama teacher, and until December 2018, she was director of education for the literacy charity Driver Youth Trust. Jules' quest is to find a way to make classrooms inclusive and allow all children to thrive. She has a particular fascination with inclusive design of knowledge organizers, textbooks, worksheets, and presentations. All her work is grounded in expert knowledge and experience of literacy and SEND, in particularly dyslexia and ADHD. Jules is also a prolific blogger and tweeter. Please join us in welcoming Jules Dolby to the Digital to Learn podcast. Welcome, Jules.
Hello, thanks for having me. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, she may or may not have even known that we found her from this top females in ed tech list. She's shaking her head no.
So excited to be on it. It's always lovely to hear that. My imposter.
I'll have to share that list with you.
I'll talk about imposter syndrome, but I've got imposter syndrome now you said that.
Oh, no. No. Please don't. We are actually going to start the podcast today with some fun get to know you questions. And we did our homework. I've seen that on Twitter recently. You posted a series of books that you're reading or promoting. And so I thought an appropriate first question would be, what book are you reading?
Well, actually, interestingly, I've decided to choose The Chamber of Secrets, the Harry Potter, only because during COVID, we're still teaching remotely. And we've just finished, we're doing a chapter every 3 days. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we've been reading a chapter of Harry Potter. And it's been going on so long that we've finished Philosopher's Stone and we've actually started reading Chamber of Secrets. So that's my fiction book that I'm reading. And I share the chapters with the head teacher and some other people in the school. So we all do a chapter at different times. But I am also reading some, I tend to get books from publishers because I'm asked to review them. And I'm reading Sue Cowley's Learning Behaviours at the moment, which is a new book for learning behaviours in the early years. So, and it's a great read. So I'm enjoying that too.
Excellent.
You know, I forgot, but in some email communications with you, I believe underneath your signature, you do share what you're currently reading. Is that true?
I do. In fact, you've reminded me, I've got to change it because it says Philosopher's Stone. So I need to change it to Chamber of Secrets.
That's a great idea. I hadn't heard anybody doing that before. So what kind of technology are you exploring?
We're still exploring and getting used to Microsoft because we've now used the channel of Teams and Office 365. So I'm constantly exploring what can be done with that. But we've also got a new, we've bought into something called Clicker 8, which is some software for children and students with SEN. So I'm a big fan of Clicker and they've just brought out Clicker 8, which we've bought. And we've had the training, all our staff have had training, we've done virtual training for everybody. So I'm exploring how much we can do with Clicker to embed it within the school and for our teachers and for our pupils to use it. So that's very exciting.
What does Clicker 8 do? What's the functionality?
So ClickArray is like a word processor, but it's got much more in it. So it's got things like an intelligent word predictor, an adaptable spell checker, so you can change the spelling. So if children make similar spelling errors, then it changes it immediately to the right spelling. It's got learning grids, which means at the bottom of the screen, it'll have all the vocabulary that they need. It will read it out to them. So it's got speech to text, as it's got little comment boxes so that they can say what they want to write and then hear it back, keep hearing it back until they've typed it out. It's super. It's got so many functions. It's really great.
Amazing. As you were describing it, I started Googling it to find out more about it. It's got some amazing resources.
Yeah, it's really good. And the learning, what I love about it as well is it's been created by a Senco, which in England is the special educational needs coordinator. I don't know if you have a similar idea. And it's been created by a husband and wife team, one who is a Senco and one who is the IT person in school. Wow. So they really understand what these children need and how it works with software and technology. So it's a fantastic resource. And really removes barriers for pupils with literacy difficulties particularly and allows them to achieve and record their knowledge and access the curriculum.
I was thinking about this as soon as you mentioned it. I have a grandson who's on the autism spectrum, who's about 5 years old now. And I'm looking at this harnessing the power of pictures. What a great resource that would be. Yeah. I'm going to pass that along to my daughter.
He would absolutely love that. And they've just brought out this new feature, which is so clever. I love doing it just because it's really good fun. Is on the learning grid, you've got all this vocabulary and you just press picturize and then it puts an image with each
nice.
Word. Just like that.
Nice.
So for teachers, it's incredible. It's that just is. So quick. So yeah, so it's incredibly visual.
Awesome.
And picturize is a brilliant little tool.
This final get to know you question is, what adventure are you planning or do you wish that you were planning?
Well, I'm very privileged because I live in the southwest of England, which is in Dorset, which is by the sea.
Oh, my.
I'm very lucky that even during lockdown, we can have our exercise on the sea. So on Saturday, I was kayaking across along the Jurassic coast, looking at rock formations and seeing a shipwreck in the sea. And the sea was like a mill pond. So that was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm planning, and I've just got to the age with my husband where the children were old enough to either come with us if they want to or stay in bed and sleep. So but it means we can go out whenever we want, so we're much freer. So my adventures are all to do with sea kayaking or pack rafting, which is when you can blow up your boat and take it on a bike. I don't know if you've, I think it's American.
No.
Actually. So you can, it's a fold-up boat and you can put it on your bike. And then you blow up your boat and then put the bike on the boat. And so you either cycle or paddle on your adventures.
Wow.
So that's what we're playing with at the moment. So
wow.
Spending the summer doing that.
Well, our
nice.
Mike Jones, our mixed media producer behind the podcast right now, I'm sure he's Googling that and I can see him and his wife trying something like that.
Look up pack rafting or bike rafting. It's often called. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Fascinating. Wow.
Well, Brad, do you want to jump into our discussion questions for today?
Sure. Tell us about Women Ed and Women Ed Tech.
Okay, so Women Ed started 6 years ago now, and it was a group of women in education, leaders or aspiring leaders. It started on Twitter and it started talking about how more women in education than anything else, 80%. But in leadership, there's a disproportionate amount of female leaders. So somewhere there's a stop where women stay in teaching but don't move into leadership. And then we started discussing this and talking about networking. And then we started reading research. And there was one that particularly struck me. I think it was by McKenzie. And they talked about when, in their research, when men saw an application with the descriptions of that job, they would if they could do two or three things on the list, they would apply. And whereas when they looked at women, if they looked at the job description, they would only do it if they could do all of them, or they'd only apply if they were if they could do the majority. So we talked then about the confidence difference between men and women and why that was. And so during that, we decided to get together really and come up with an organisation, a grassroots organisation, to support women, existing and aspiring women leaders in education. So we met for a cup of tea, as you do in England. We met for an afternoon tea, actually in the real. We had a cup of tea and a scone, and that's where it was created. And we decided to call it Women Ed. And then we had our first conference, and we called it an unconference because we didn't want to be that sort of corporate, you know, feeling. So it was an unconference, and we had it in London, in the Microsoft offices at the time. And we invited Sue Cowley, who actually, funnily enough, is the book I'm reading at the moment, who's a great educator and spokesperson in England. And she did our keynote. And she came up with the 10% Braver. So, and the funny story about 10% Braver was she said she hated singing, and but she had the words to "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar." I don't know if you know it.
Yes.
It's a wonderful song. And she said, "I hate singing, so I'm going to say it." And then Samina Trowdery, one of our group in the steering group, shouted out from the audience, "Sing it, be 10% braver," because she'd been talking about women being 10% braver. So she then sang the song.
Nice.
And she got a huge round of applause. And so that whole keynote ended up with our a sort of 10% braver hashtag, which we've always used, but was also Women Ed. So we had this first conference. We've now had six unconferences, and our final one had to be a virtual. So we ended up doing it over a weekend. So because it started just in England and Great Britain, and so we had Scotland and Wales and Ireland, but since it's become global, so now we have America and Canada and Australia and South Asia. We have MENA, so the Middle East. So it's really gone global. So it's been an incredible journey. You've asked me about Women Ed Tech, and that really has sort of, I've taken on the Women Ed Tech, running that a little bit more, because in tech, I think we'd all experienced quite a male dominated area in tech, in ed tech and tech generally. And so we felt that we needed a separate forum for women that are in tech or would like to be part of the tech revolution, if you like, in schools. So that's where Women Ed Tech has come from.
Are the Women Ed following, is it primarily K-12, or do you have some universities?
No, we have lots of universities, actually. Awesome. And we have some very sort of quite famous professors. We have Professor Sam Twistleton, who is one of our leading educational professors in Sheffield in England as part of Women Ed. And yeah, we have a big university following. Because
that's great.
And in fact, they will tell you that they think it's even worse at university sometimes than it is in school, than it is in education for women in leadership. Mm-hmm. So yes, yeah, so it's absolutely goes from early years right up to university, our membership. Teacher training is another one, of course, which is universities. We've got quite a lot of teacher trainers that are part of that.
Well, your observation about job postings then is absolutely true, because if I see my colleagues will tell you, I apply for jobs all the time, and if I see one or two things on the list that sound like me, I think this job's made just for me. And obviously, I'm wrong most of the time. No. So, how did your work with inclusion and assistive technology? Where did that start for you?
So that was before Women Ed, really. So I started off as a teacher in 98. So I worked in a mainstream school, and actually I was really working with older pupils to begin with, and not necessarily in special needs. But I moved into work with dyslexia, and then working with families who had children with special needs. And it sort of became, I'm an English teacher, so the sort of the link between literacy and special needs was huge. I then started working in a college with pupils that would leave school and go to a further education college, FE colleges we call them, which is, and it's much more vocational, you know, so they learn to become plumbers and outdoor education and things like that. And there was a football course. So I was meeting all these pupils who were, you know, really quite capable, but hadn't had good school experiences and had quite poor literacy. And I became quite fascinated with special needs, so an autism, dyslexia, and language difficulties and general ADHD, and seeing how that impacted children in school and how great teaching and inclusive schools really made a huge impact on those children. And that's where I've been ever since, really. So I've worked in literacy. The assistive technology I was always interested in, because of course that is a great enabler for people with literacy difficulties particularly, but all sorts of technology. And there was one of my students that I worked with in the FE college. He was 17 and he could barely read and write, but he came to me really good with Dragon, naturally speaking, which is a speech to text piece of software. And he taught me more than I taught him, to be honest. He'd come to my room and he'd tidy it up because I'm really messy, and he'd show me how Dragon worked and everything. And he was so inspirational, and his history was very interesting. So he'd become a sort of school refuser, so he wasn't going to school at all. He would go into primary school and run away and climb the gates, and it became really difficult until he got what we used to call here a statement, or an educational health and care plan, they're called now. And they bought him speech to text, this Dragon Naturally. And his mum sat there and really worked hard with him to learn how to use it. And since then, he just flourished. And he came to college, and his work using a microphone and talking was incredible. And then you saw his writing and it looked like a child, you know, it looked like a six or seven year old child. And in, to the extent where his lecturers sometimes wouldn't believe it was the same work that, you know, so he'd only do his work at home, and the work he'd do in school, he would use in college, he'd use a pen. And so they'd often say, you know, this can't be the same pupil. This can't be the same student. And it was. But what was lovely, by the end of college, he'd said to me that he'd become confident enough to really embrace the fact and tell people he was dyslexic and that he used Dragon. And it was a lovely moment that always gave me goosebumps when he said he was in the library using Dragon, and one of his friends came up to him and said, "Oh, why are you using that?" And he said, "Oh, well, I'm dyslexic. I can't write without it." And they said, Oh, I thought you were really clever." And he said, "I am." And it was just such a lovely moment that he was able to sort of say, just the fact that I can't write, it doesn't mean I'm not clever. He's gone on and he's now doing a PhD at university.
Wow.
And, you know, he still can't really read and write without assistive technology, but he's doing a PhD, and he's been a huge inspiration to me and really made me part of, you know, seeing how liberating assistive technology can be. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us today with Jules Dolby. We're so excited to have her back again next week for part two. If you would like, you can follow up with resources for Jules on digitaltolearn.com, and that's numerical two. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.